Jim Schaefer is a staff writer for the Detroit Free Press. He has won a Pulitzer Prize. He's an awesome writer and covers some pretty cool stories, and he's on the other end of our line. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, Tony. Happy holidays to you.
Same to you. Before we dig into the main reason I called you, I had to ask you for a Kwame update. I saw that Kwame has some lawsuits in effect. One with a cell phone provider for more than $25 million. So he's doing whatever he can to gain revenue.
Yeah, you know, he's had their lawsuit pending down in Mississippi for, gosh, a year or two now. It's against SkyTel, the company that released his text messages back in 2008. So he's trying to recoup a lot of money from that. And some folks think if he actually gets any money, maybe it would go toward repaying that restitution he owes us.
And that had totaled a little bit more than $1 million. Do we know how much he's made since he's been out of prison?
Yeah, last I checked, it was in the $860,000-$870,000 range that he still owes. That's my recollection off the top of my head. So he's still got a real good chunk of change there that he's got to pay back.
When I see updated stories about him, when I see where he's living, how he's living, when I see comments he makes when he comes into town for radio interviews, when I see these lawsuits, I still think, and this is from a reporter's aspect, that he doesn't get it, that he still believes that he is do special perks, special treatment, and doesn't realize how wrong he was.
Well, I'll tell you, if you try to figure this guy out, you might find yourself going a little bit nutty. There's a lot of people that scratch their heads over some things that he's done. Why you would move back into another very large house after your last move into a very large house basically got you sent to prison in Michigan for violating your probation. Makes a lot of people wonder, you know, just what he's thinking. Some people think maybe he's just trying to help his family live as well as they can before this federal trial next year, which is really going to be one of the biggest challenges he's ever faced.
We get so caught up in all this bad news that sometimes we forget about the good stories, and we really go out of our way to make sure that we get some good stories with all the craziness. And I know yesterday the Detroit Free Press front page, top fold, had a piece called Feel Good Stories of 2011, A Year of Triumph Overcoming the Odds. You put this together. It must have been kind of fun to do this.
You know what? It was a nice Christmas break for me because I'm the kind of guy that sits around and usually writes about the bad things that happen, a lot of corruption and crime that my beat tends to focus on. So I do this every year, come up with the best stories of the year or the craziest stories or whatever, you know, it calls for. And so I was able to throw together, these aren't stories that I necessarily did throughout the year, but they're summaries of the stories that appeared in the Free Press in 2011 that you might have forgotten. You know, you might have overlooked at the time of the year when we all look back in retrospect on things that happened. It's nice sometimes to, you know, give a look to things that make you smile a little bit around the new year. So that's what we did. It's still online with links to all the actual stories that tell you much more. What I did was just write summaries about each, and then there's links to the actual stories that we and other reporters wrote at freep.com. It's still up online.
Can you pick a couple that were the most intriguing or most heartwarming?
Yeah, you know, there's a bunch of them on there. I think I did about 20, but the one that really stands out to me was, you know, I came into the newsroom one morning and learned about this woman named Amy Nearhood of Temperance, who went out onto a boat in the Lake Erie in October, which is a chilly night to begin with, probably, right? And she falls off the boat, and her husband and friends, who are also on the boat, don't notice, and they make it back, or they're headed back into shore, and at some point realize she's missing. So they call the Coast Guard, and everybody begins searching for her. So what this woman did, though, she was 52 years old, swims more than a mile back to shore, Tony, and actually makes it in October. She must have been in pretty good shape, huh?
Wow, I would say so. You know, there's two stories that I found really intriguing, and they were just the simplest of stories, I guess. But when you talk about the courage it must have took, first of all, it was Jason and his wife, I believe it's Kayla, who saved a family from a burning van. That's a pretty courageous thing to do.
Yeah, it was a terrible story with a bit of a silver lining. You know, this couple's driving actually to a Valentine's Day dinner, happened in last February, and driving down I-94 in the city and sees this van off to the shoulder burning. You know, the whole thing is on fire. And Kayla, who happened to be an emergency room nurse, is actually able to pull over with her husband, and they basically help a guy who had lost his arm in this crash. You know, he's bleeding profusely. They administered first aid to him, and he was able to make it to the hospital safely, probably because of them.
And then another cool story, a woman by the name of Jennifer Dameron walked down the aisle in April to marry a gentleman in Windsor following years of physical therapy as she was paralyzed in a car accident in 2008. Talk about fighting for your dream.
Yeah, and we kind of cheated on that one. I believe they're both from Windsor, so it wasn't really a Michigan story except for a very, very important aspect. She was treated in Detroit after her accident, and some of the people here had helped her work with her legs and figure out how to struggle along on these braces. And another really touching aspect of that story is she couldn't walk completely on her own. She did have the braces, so she was escorted down the aisle by her father and her brother. So, yeah, that was a really nice story that happened in April of this year. And the wedding was in Windsor.
Jim, as someone who has more than 10 years in sports broadcasting and sports writing experience, I'm just so surprised being on the news end now how much sports impacts people and can impact a state when we win, the Detroit Tigers. Even Wayne State, with all the coverage they got, and as someone from the area, I know Wayne State is a great academic institution, but from the perspective of a news guy, how important, how much does it pick us up when our sports teams do well?
I end up writing about sports so much because of the way it affects everything. You know, it affects the news, it affects people's moods. And in Michigan, we really love our sports, and we're really blessed to have great college teams, all the pro sports teams. And this year was just been crazy for success. You know, the Lions started out like warriors, winning the first five games, and then they, you know, had a few bumps along the road, some injuries, some bad games. But here we are in the playoffs for the first time since 1999, if I remember correctly. So we picked several sports stories that we thought were feel-good stories of the year. You mentioned Wayne State. We also talk about Justin Verlander's accomplishments with the Tigers, you know, pitching his second no-hitter earlier in the year and then going on to win the Cy Young and then the MVP award, which almost never happens for a pitcher. So you can't mention the best of 2011 without mentioning what was great in sports, and we've got several of them that we go into detail on.
And when you talk about a sports frenzy, I've heard many a sports journalist say it. If the Lions would win the Super Bowl, I think that would create pride and celebration in this state that the Red Wings, the Pistons, Michigan State couldn't duplicate.
Yeah, you know, I have some friends at the Free Press who have been saying that for years, and you're dead right about that, that Detroit is a football town. Now, I'm not close enough to it to say I'm absolutely convinced that's sure, but the football guys I talk to certainly seem to think that's the case.
All right,
based on the excitement over the Lions, you know, it looks like it's going to be a good playoff run, doesn't it?
All right, Jim, before I let you go, just want to get your take on Detroit and what's going on there with the possibility of an emergency financial manager being brought in. As a reporter covering this story, I've even had the opportunity to interview Mayor Dave Bing. Talk about a challenge. Just as an outsider looking in, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think Dave Bing is convinced that they need to go down this path. I don't think he is saying we need an emergency financial manager just yet. but he certainly invited the state in for this financial review. Things are really a mess. I think it's a big reality check for everyone here, and you know, we're going to have to see what happens. It's going to be a crazy year along those lines, where they have to get something going before they run out of money. So I think Bing is saying we really don't like this process, but it's something that we are experimenting with, and we'll see what happens in the end.
All right, folks can vote for 2011's top news stories. I don't know if that vote has ended. Has that vote ended yet, Jim?
No, I think they're still taking daily hits on it, although I'm not absolutely certain. But we have all kinds of different photo galleries of the year, stories of the year, and everything at freep.com. So if people are bored during the holidays, they can certainly get a little entertainment right now on our website.
All right, Jim, enjoy the holiday weekend, and we'll talk with you soon.
Hey, you too, Tony. Happy New Year.